What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great show, the FTN Fantasy Show. We are here. This is one episode that we wanted to quit fantasy football, Okada. I mean, look, man, it is bipocalypse. How are you adjusting your rosters this week with so many startable wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends on bye this week?
I am squeezing in some players I never wanted to and praying that it works out. I'll tell you what, there's one way to give yourself some hope, which is look at the other team that you're facing, because they're also in bipocalypse.
Misery loves roster, company.
Yes, exactly. It's a disaster, but if you look across the way in your matchup, probably looks like a disaster over there too.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to look over and be like, yes. Oh my God, I don't have to worry about JSN. Let's go. We are going for the clear win this week. But man, it's a good week, though, I would say, for those rosters that actually paid attention to the bipocalypse. Like, I know some teams that aren't affected. They're kind of just moving as business casual this week, which is kind of wild. Lucky them. But man, I mean, you drop a great article each and every week, and I love to start the show with the key things that we need to know for week 8. I mean, last week you had some major hitters that helped some folks. I mean, what are we looking like this week?
All right. Well, to start it off, I paired these two together because both these plays are on bye. So this isn't exactly for week 8, or at least not for your lineups in week 8, but it is time to make some decisions on these guys, and through the bye might be a time to make those decisions. So Two of the things to know in this week's article are, and they're similar, which is why I put them together here, Jameson Williams and Ashton Jeanty. And you say, in what way are those guys similar, Okada? Well, they have had one or two good games, good to great games this year. And so if you look at their overall fantasy production, where they rank overall, you think, okay, this isn't that bad. Maybe I'm doing okay with these guys. But if you look at the majority of their games, and this is a weekly game we play, Laquan, you need these guys to do something for a lineup week to week. There have been some really messy down weeks for both these guys.
I'm looking at Jeanty.
You would like, yeah. Now on the Jeanty front, and I've had an ongoing Twitter debate with someone about this. The one huge week he had was 32.5 fantasy points. So obviously that inflates all of his fantasy numbers for the year. And so the question is, well, is that the bigger outlier, or like was last week when he had three or five in this game that the Raiders ran 30 plays and did nothing? Is that
I'm glad
the
you didn't
outlier?
Say 6-7? Okay. there was a moment there I thought you were gonna. Okay, we did lower numbers, so it doesn't count.
Here's the issue with Jeanty. If you take away that one game, and I understand the big games matter, but as I said, this is a weekly game. You need him to produce week in, week out. Outside of that one huge game, he has averaged 9.35 fantasy points per game, Laquan. That would be RB32. And if you play it fair and you take away the biggest games of other guys in his range, like Kyren Williams or Quinshon Judkins, they drop like 4 or 5 spots in the running back rankings. Jeanty drops to RB32. And while he looks like the RB12 on the season, if you look at his total numbers, he also drops to RB17 if you just look at points per game, because he hasn't had his bye yet. Now he is on his bye. I am very concerned that this offense is too dysfunctional for Ashton Jeanty to be consistent RB1 for your team. So if you can trade him away for a more consistent RB1, even a high-end RB2 that is consistent, I think this might be the week to do it. You say, hey, look, guy that or gal that I'm trading to, he's on his bye, which means after this, you'll never have to worry about Jeanty's bye. He's, you know, a super exciting rookie, and try to sell him for someone like Quinshon Judkins or Kyren Williams. If you can do either of those things, I would. And then on the Jameson Williams front, I think he's droppable, Laquan.
What?
I think that people are attached to what Jameson Williams has done in previous years and the big game that he has here or there. He has been awful, absolutely awful outside of a couple games. In 5 of 7 games, he has scored fewer than 6 half PPR fantasy points, Laquan. Here, let me give you some names. Troy Franklin, Tyquan Thornton. Those guys have more fantasy points than Jameson Williams on the year. And if you just ask me about more fantasy games with 7+ fantasy points, Parker Washington has more. Luke McCaffrey has more. Torrey Horton has more. I think that Jameson Williams is basically Marvin Mims Jr. dressed up as T.Y. Hilton or something. And we think that he is this great
Halloween
wide receiver too. And he's not. So he's on his bye. I think a lot of people are going to hold on to him, hoping that, you know, the consistency is going to come. It's not going to come. It is not going to come, and you're going to continue. You have to keep putting him in lineups if you have him, and I don't think it's worth it. So I would, if you, obviously, I'd try to trade him away for a wide receiver three of some kind. I take Matthew Golden. I take Devontae Smith.
But I'll take Trey Tucker.
Sure, maybe. Like, if you can't get something done, you might just have to drop him because you do not want to put him in your fantasy lineup, in my opinion.
I like how we snuck in a little this or that segment. We'll probably have to save that for another time to revisit this Jameson Williams in conversation, because it's interesting. It's at a time like now where it's like, I need to start looking at who's collecting dust. And like, Jameson Williams has been very disappointing, and like, you can't trust it. And like, I fear that you're going to strap yourself to this high ceiling, like of this picture that we try to paint of Jameson Williams, because we've seen it, right? It was evidence of that. It could be done, but on a term of a weekly game that we play on a consistent basis, can't be trusted. That breakout's likely going to happen on your bench. So like you said, if you could trade him away, I'm cool with Trey Tucker. I'm cool with Jacoby Myers, who may be on the trade block, like that may be on a move that can find success. Mm-hmm. Because I do think trading them, you're getting back a more consistent and valuable, you know, player that can help your roster on a week-to-week basis. Not looking for a bunch of bust or booms, but this is surprising to see number two on the rundown. I actually, before we got on camera, I was like, oh, I'd like to see Kyle Pitts. What you got on Kyle Pitts that we need to know about?
Well, this is a show that, while we were a little concerned about Kyle Pitts disappointing us again, the rankings on Kyle Pitts for us coming into the season were decently high, because we knew there was a good chance he would produce. And he has produced recently, but there are some clouds, some shadows over his recent production that I think will have fantasy managers not really realizing that he is a tight end one. He's a tight end one right now, and I think he's a tight end one rest of season. So before his bye in week 4, he caught 5 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. That was a season high 15.5 fantasy points. He had his bye, and he then faced the Bills, who are the number one matchup for tight ends. They're impossible for tight ends. So he was a dud in that game, but expectedly so. Mm-hmm. And then this past week against the 49ers, he had 10 targets and caught 7 of them for 62 yards. Yeah, so I think he's been actually quite good. If you look at the games, we would have expected him to do something. He has done something in recent weeks. But also, if you look at his upcoming matchups, pull up whatever app you use, click on Kyle Pitts, look at his upcoming matchups, and look at the greens. They're all green, baby. He does not face a team ranked in the top half of the league against fantasy tight ends from now until week 17, Laquan.
Yes.
It's the
championship
week 8.
Will be polished.
It is week 8, and Pitts' bye is in the past. So that means 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. That's 9 straight games he plays against teams that are bottom half of the league in allowing points to fantasy tight ends. I think he is a locked and loaded tight end one. I think there's some guys ahead of him in like overall scoring and in most people's rankings, like Travis Kelce, maybe like Hunter Henry, that I would not take over Kyle Pitts rest of the year. I think he is very much entrenched in that. He's not elite. He's not going to be Trey McBride or Tyler Warren. But if you don't have one of those guys, he's about as good as it gets.
Sold. I'm in. Take all my shares. I want them. I want all the shares of Kyle Pitts. Because I look at this, like, I'm actually happy Michael Penix was not made out to be a liar. Because, you know, before the season, we're doing our power rankings and doing our rankings of tight ends. I had him at 10. I kind of felt crazy to put him at 10. But now I'm looking at, like, Michael Penix is understanding the assignment. Get this guy volume, mm-hmm. like a season high, 10 targets last week. Like, we're not seeing Kyle Pitts leave games anymore with one target and one catch and 7 yards. Like, we're not seeing him go 3 targets, 0 catches. Like, this is a nice little portfolio he's putting together with Michael Penix, because I look at this as, hey, I have a tight end that's getting consistent volume. I would say above average, good offense. This is a straight buy. Like, I want this instead of trying to hit the waiver wire and trying to guess what week Zach Ertz is going to score a touchdown. And probably ain't going to be this week without, you know, JD. But I'm just saying, like, I want stability in my life. We all want stability at the tight end position. Kyle Pitts is probably the number one guy that I'm going to go trade for right now. Thank you, Okada. Now, what is the third thing? Like, we like to do top three things of major keys to success. I'm curious what your third one is.
So I slipped that Kyle Pitts in there, Laquan, to give you a little boost of confidence, because you had Kyle Pitts ranked as your top 10 tight end coming in the season. To soften the blow of number three, which is Christian McCaffrey with George Kittle back on the field for the 49ers, is the RB1 overall for the rest of the season. Oh, if you're not watching on YouTube, you can't see the Laquan's face right now.
Listen, I am disgusted, because it's true.
I know you are. McCaffrey has topped 60 rushing yards twice this season, in week one and in week seven. What is the through line between those two games? George Kittle played in those two games. Mm-hmm. These are some numbers with Kittle on and off the field this year, according to Next Gen Stats. Laquan, get this. Yards per carry with Kittle on the field for McCaffrey, 5.7. With Kittle off the field, 3.0. Yards before contact per carry with Kittle on the field, 2.0. Yards before contact without Kittle on the field, 0.3. Explosive run rate, 27% with Kittle on the field, 6% with Kittle off the field.
One tight end blocking makes this much of an impact? Like, come on!
We all know George Kittle to be one of the best receiving tight ends in the league, one of the most fun tight ends in the league. Obviously, the king of National Tight Ends Day, which is this week. But not everybody knows, in fantasy at least, that he is the best blocking tight end in all of the NFL. Facts. Maybe ever. He's certainly in the conversation. At least in terms of, like, guys who are also good receivers. And McCaffrey, what was struggling in the run game, and so he was still way up there in running back production, but he was struggling big time in the run game. However, his receiving work alone, Laquan, would make him the wide receiver 7 or the tight end 1 on the year.
Drug test.
Just take his receiving work.
Random drug test. Seriously. There's no way. Is he bionic? There's crazy no work. Way. It's no science. He's going against science, Okada.
He's the GOAT. Now you add in the rushing production with George Kittle on the field, and he is by far the running back 1. So if you have anyone in the top 10 that you want to trade with a piece to upgrade to Christian McCaffrey, I believe that McCaffrey not only will finish as number 1, which is saying something with how well Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson are playing, by the way, but in half PPR or full PPR, the receptions just matter so much. Not only will he do that, I think he has a chance to break the record for fantasy points by a running back this year. He has been unbelievable and is going to be more unbelievable moving forward.
Drug test. I need to know how we can send a drug test to Christian McCaffrey's locker, because at the end of the day, we've all seen his injury history. We've seen this guy really just kind of fall apart. Just a year ago. And listen, I understand the impact of George Kittle. Like, I know the run game was suffering. He wasn't looking that great, but he still was a RB1 each and every week. Like, there wasn't a week where Christian McCaffrey wasn't lighting up because of how much work they were giving him. And like me, I was trying to throw caution, because first round, your first pick off the board, your first pick in the middle round, I was against. But you know what, Christian McCaffrey, I was wrong. but I still want a drug test. Like, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, but I'm going to see if I can figure out a way how we get that done, because there's no way. He's going against science, Okada. Like, how is he the one escaping from being hurt? I mean, listen, I don't know.
That's true.
We'll get back
to that. That part's crazy.
That's insane. It's insane. Everybody else is falling apart. No, we could spend a whole entire segment on that, but I'm going to chill out, and we'll be right back for another great segment on the way. And we are back. The Bipocalypse. Survivors, saviors, Okada, who rises from the ashes. Because, man, a lot of rosters are hurting this week. And there's a lot of questions. I mean, there's a lot of speculations. Guys coming back from injury. Guys that are on the injury list right now. We are waiting, trying to figure out, are they playing? But, like, let's go to Washington. Like, without Jaden Daniels, like, you have Debo and Terry McLaurin both returning back from injuries, likely to play. But do you trust anybody else out of these two guys without Jaden Daniels? Like, what is the pivot option? Because we've seen sparks from Chris Moore. We've seen sparks from Zach Ertz and, like, Robbie Chosen. Like, what is going on? Like, he led them in catches last week, Okada. Like, what was that about? Like, seriously, like, who do you trust with Mariota on the sticks?
Yeah, that was goofy. I don't know that you can trust anybody, Laquan. I don't even know that I trust these guys because, Mariota's a serviceable backup. He's better than some, maybe better than most. But both these guys coming off injury after dealing with them on and off for quite a while, obviously Terry McLaurin for a long time, no Jaden Daniels, you're down to Marcus Mariota, playing against the Chiefs. I don't feel great about any of these guys. I mean, you're getting Debo and maybe McLaurin into some lineups during the Bipocalypse as a flex, probably. But I think to me, that's it. And I don't trust anybody else. I certainly don't trust the run game at all against this Chiefs D. They will have to throw. So probably somebody will score some points. But I don't know if it's, you know, if Zach Ertz gets a touchdown, then Debo and Terry probably aren't very good. If Luke McCaffrey gets the big play, or it's one of those other guys you mentioned gets the big play, then maybe neither of these guys is that good. You have to hope that, like, all of the good production goes to one or two people. And I don't trust either of these two to hold it down on their own. So if I can get other players into my lineup this week, so I'd rather do that. How about you?
I mean, speaking of Zach Ertz, though, like, it's one of those frustrating things. Like, when you see when Mariota is, you know, coming in as a starter, and then you look at Zach Ertz's numbers, you're like, oh, he doesn't have that Jaden Daniels chemistry in the red zone and in the striking area. So it's like, he's going to be the one that's most affected. So, like, this transitioned perfectly into my next question, Okada. Like, I mean, the Bipocalypse is hitting folks at the tight end position hard. If you got Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, and freaking Sam Laporta, then, like, I don't know what to do at the tight end position, because we just spoke about Zach Ertz not being a valuable or a viable option this week. I mean, who holding you down during the Bipocalypse?
There are a few options. Most likely you're going to have to be hitting the waiver wire here, but
yes,
there might be some guys available. So I'd go to your waiver wire. I would sort your waiver wire by highest projections for tight ends. And I would look through the guys that are available in your league. Harold Fannin Jr. might be available. I think he's an okay option. By the way, none of these guys are going to give you great hope or excitement.
We want 9 points. If you're off of the waiver wire, I want 9 points, and we good.
I think Mason Taylor is a decent option, the rookie for the Jets. Dalton Schultz might be a decent option. He's been actually sneaky, kind of involved in the Texans offense. Cade Otton is a pretty good option. We saw him pick up a lot of the work last week with Evans getting hurt in the game. And that was with Ibuka getting a ton of targets, despite the fact he was just coming off injury. I still think Evan Engram has a chance to be something. They've started involving him more. So he's a kind of an option. And then maybe Theo Johnson, if you're going real deep.
Yeah, you were maybe in the 14-16 league, I would think. Like, yeah. Theo Johnson, if you're – I feel like, honestly, Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson having that connection with Jackson Dart kind of makes sense for a young quarterback. They kind of lean on these tight ends. And, like, it's kind of frustrating that now we have to worry about a Daniel Bellinger being utilized vertically and catching the big plays that we saw that Jackson Dart kept his eyes downfield for that big touchdown. It's one of those situations, like, the bipocalypse, it hits the tight end position the hardest, man, because it's like when you have your stud guy that's star and forget, and then you look at that buy and you're like, ooh, this is what's left. This is what's available. Jatavion Sanders. I mean, oh, man, where do I go with this? And that's just part of bipocalypse. But then we look to our guys that we have no choice of putting into starting lineups, and I regretfully have to play DJ Moore this week. I mean, look, man. There's 11 startable wide receivers on bye, so you have to understand this start. I mean, honestly, it's like one of those things that I wish I could drop him, but I can't this week. I mean, Okada, what is the expectations from you in a matchup that is kind of juicy? Come on, like there is the upside. But this week, what are your expectations from DJ Moore?
All right. This is very curious that you have included this question in the rundown, Laquan. We didn't even know this was going to happen when we put the rundown together. But my article for Yahoo just dropped. My nice. Fades and busts of the week article. And DJ Moore is one of the busts of this week. Mm. Because I think people like you are like, I got to get somebody in my lineup. I know this guy used to score fantasy points.
Do you know what that's going to trigger, Okada? That's going to trigger a huge wave of rage dropping him. I'm serious. As soon as the game ends, it's going to be drop DJ Moore season. I'm telling you now.
Here's the thing. I don't know that you should be holding DJ Moore before this game. It might be drop season on DJ Moore right now. And I will tell you everybody why. Okay. You asked me specifically, Laquan. You asked me, what are your expectations for DJ Moore? That is the easiest question to answer in all of fantasy right now because he has been so consistently mid. He is the Trevor Lawrence of wide receivers right now. And we're talking low end. Meter.
But I added Travion instead. But I'll get to that to another episode.
DJ, this is the at the bottom is DJ Less, the top is DJ Moore. It couldn't be more perfect. Listen. I'm going to speed read you his numbers, Laquan, and you're going to laugh at how consistent these are. Ready? Yeah. Targets 5, 6, 5, 5, 5. These are his weekly numbers. Receptions 3, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3.
Whose
yards
is that?
68, 46, 21, 38, 42, 43. He has been unbelievably consistently 3 catches on 5 targets for like 40 yards. He scored 1 touchdown against the Cowboys, who are the softest matchup in all of fantasy. That was his one game this year with double-digit fantasy points in half PPR. Yikes. He has zero upside. Zero. So there are a bunch of wide receiver threes that I would happily start over DJ Moore this week. Kayshon Booty, Tez Johnson. Give me those guys in a heartbeat over DJ Moore, and I think he's pretty much droppable at this point.
Let me ask you something. Keon Coleman, Keon Coleman, or like, come on, like, that's what I'm saying. That's the level I'm looking at with DJ Moore right now. Cause like, that's it's literally eye level of like consistency. It's like, we know the ceiling can be high, but it hasn't been high in a while. Like the only pop-up we've seen of Keon Coleman was week 1. That was it. Like, that was wide receiver one production. So would you hold on to Keon Coleman or DJ Moore?
I will not play Keon Coleman, and I don't want him in my lineup, and I don't even want him on my roster. So, no, I will take the guaranteed 5 fantasy points of DJ Moore over the probably 2 fantasy points of Keon Coleman with a small chance at 20.
Wow. I mean, look, I get it. I get it. This is the nasty work we got to deal with during the bipocalypse.
It is.
I seriously feel like there's going to be a roar and rage as soon as the clock hits 0 and DJ Moore puts up 9 fantasy points like he is known to be. It's going to be a very, very big, big drop of DJ Moore going in and out of bipocalypse. Man, listen, there's a situation now. You have to pick two. Who will be holding you down during these dark times in the bipocalypse? This is the running back position, because there's some folks out there that are dealing with this, right? I understand folks, they're not really happy with how Ken Walker has been performing, but he's on the bye. You look at Kyren Williams, he's been semi, he's been okay, but he's also on a bye. So you're looking at all these running backs on bye, and these are some of the lineups that I'm seeing. So pick two, Okada. Let's go down the line. Ramondre Stevenson, Chuba Hubbard, Woody Marks, Chase Brown, Rashard Smith. Who are the two running backs holding you down during the bipocalypse?
Okay. I have my answer pretty quickly out of the gate. Chase Brown is locked and loaded number one for me. Now, like I know he has been or had been awful for most of the year, but it looks like Joe Flacco, now that he's had a week under his belt to connect with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, has this offense functioning at some level. I still don't think Chase Brown's going to be efficient. I still don't know that he's going to score that many touchdowns. But with this offense functioning at some level and a pass attack that has to be feared a little bit, I think Chase Brown is locked and loaded. Ramondre Stevenson is in my must article. He is one of the fades. Why? Because he has not been very good, okay, for most of the year. He has had two good weeks recently in weeks 5 and 7 because he scored two touchdowns in one of them and scored one touchdown in the other one. If he scores a touchdown, he'll be okay. But if he doesn't score a touchdown, he's been trash. And those two games that he hit double-digit fantasy points because he scored touchdowns were against the Bills and the Titans, who are two of the softest run defenses in fantasy. This week, who does he get?
The Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. Who are the worst matchup for fantasy running backs.
Yes, sir.
You cannot play Ramondre Stevenson this week. I would avoid with all my heart. So the guy I will take as my number two is Chuba Hubbard.
I know. Whoa.
He's not even the RB1 on his own team, you say. Okada, it's Rico Dowdle season. We all know this. Yes, it is Rico Dowdle season. I'm starting both of these guys this week because they are playing the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills can be beaten one way, and that is by running the ball down their throats. They are very soft against the run. I just mentioned it on Ramondre Stevenson. I think that both Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard will have big days this weekend. So I think you can throw Hubbard in there and get 10 fantasy points and feel pretty good about it.
Wow. I know Rico managers are very happy with this matchup. The Bills are allowing 5.8 yards per carry on the ground. That is the most in the NFL right now. In fantasy stats hub. My boy, listen to this though. I got Chuba Hubbard as a bench this week because I think Rico Dowdle takes the job and run away with it. Because last week, when we saw the first half, they gave up Chuba the ramp up here. They gave him the opportunity. The first half was all Chuba, 70% of the snaps. And then you see Rico Dowdle on his first touch. He breaks off a 10-yard run. It is Rico Dowdle's season. I hope Rico puts up another 200 yards from scrimmage.
Could be.
Because I think Chuba Hubbard, this ain't the first time my guy lost his job. Do remember Deontay Foreman? He was one of my biggest sleeper calls back in the day when he was a Panther. And then we look at Jonathan Brooks. He almost took his job, but then he kind of, you know, got hurt again. Ouch. So therefore he was not safe for his job. I think the Panthers are comfortable even with a paid running back playing in the background, because we've seen them do it before as well with Miles Sanders. I mean, he was probably one of the most paid third string running backs we've ever seen. Like, come on. So I do look at it like this. I like your call because you're taking the best of the top of the crop, you would say, with Chuba Hubbard and Chase Brown. But I'm going to go Stevenson. That's the only way I'm going to fight you. I have a bold prediction that Ramondre Stevenson will be utilized in the passing game, giving him that safe floor in PPR formats. I'm saying Ramondre Stevenson puts up 15-plus fantasy points against the Browns this week. That is a bold prediction, okay? Bold prediction of the week. And I want to come back and rewind this and keep me accountable, Okada, and also the listeners. Keep me accountable. I am team Ramondre Stevenson. You just saw the middle meter. Travion Henderson has entered the building. And the other day, it was Travion Henderson's birthday, Okada. I mean, your Patriots, they shouted him out. I was surprised it wasn't Ramondre Stevenson's birthday that they posted up. I mean, what's going on?
Well, maybe this is now the Henderson week because it's his birthday, Laquan.
Here we go. First of all, I heard there was a cake. I heard Stevenson blew out the candles while Mike Rabel watched. Okay, so I don't know. I 0.5 last week, Okada. Like, this is totally off the rundown. Like, 0.5? This is season low.
You can't play him. No. Bench him. Bench the living daylights out of him until we see
For what it's worth,
Laquan, for what it's worth, you say you shared your bold prediction. I actually write a bold prediction for NFL.com. My bold prediction for this week, Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle combine for 200-plus rushing yards and keep this game within 3 points with the Bills. So that is why I've got Hubbard. You've got Stevenson. We agree on Chase Brown, though?
Yes, we agree. We agree on Chase. I think we were speaking about it last week, you know, before the whole Joe Flacco or 2 weeks ago or whatever, how the schedule kind of loosens up for Chase Brown. So I like him as a buy as well. Like, I know a couple of folks are like, hey, do I get Chase Brown this week? Like, do I get him now? I'm telling folks yes. And like, next we got the Fantasy Street segment where we tap in and try to ask and try to answer some of these questions that we got going on in the Fantasy Street. So this will be a great segue of like, okay, what's going on with these rosters and what moves we should be making, and some moves kind of shouldn't be making, some questionable things, but we'll be right back. And we're back. Let's ask the Fantasy Streets. Okada, we got our ear to the Fantasy Streets. We're seeing everything that's being said on all social media platforms. I had the privilege of going live the other day on the FTN Fantasy TikTok and be able to get some questions asked, and I'm ready to get some answers, and I want you to be able to help some of the folks out there in the Fantasy Streets. So the first one, trade question. Now, when this came to the DM, it was in all caps. Like, I need help. I'm in dire need. I mean, this team is 2-5. Do they trade Jaxon Smith-Njigba for Saquon Barkley and Brian Thomas Jr.? But here's the context. The wide receivers are JSN, Wando, Waddle, Dobbs, and they lost Neighbors. Running backs, CMC, Monty, Bill, went Hampton on IR, which should be coming up or coming back. Would you trade?
Yeah.
JSN?
Yeah. Nope. Not for this. Not for this at all. Yeah. And this is going to sound crazy to people, I think, because you're talking about getting Saquon Barkley, who's supposed to be, I don't know what people still think. Let me ask you this, Laquan. Yep. What do you think people think Saquon is this season, like rest of season? Top 8, top 10, top 5, top 3, top 15?
Funny enough, I think the average fantasy manager right now is hoping that the Eagles pick it up later in the season, because it's Saquon Barkley. You know, you're banking on the talent. And like, I do think there's a picture you can paint for yourself to say, hey, I know this is a really good offense and Saquon's a really good player. He's not injured. It has to change at some point, right? But then looking at the overall product that we got from Saquon, I'm ready to move on. So I understand the other side of this trade, like packaging him with, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. and trying to acquire an elite wide receiver, which is the best wide receiver in the league right now. So it's like, I get the other side of it, but if I'm the JSN owner, I'm with you. Why? No, I'm not doing that. And it's not even because of what he has already on his team. It's like, no, why would I get rid of JSN?
Brian Thomas Jr. is banged up. It looks like Travis Hunter is stepping up. I think Brian Thomas Jr. very legitimately might lose his wide receiver one role to Travis Hunter rest of season, which probably sounds a little hot as well. And Saquon Barkley is every single week has been, I've been shouting from the rooftops, trade away Saquon Barkley. Because of what you just said, I think people still have in their minds this picture of what Saquon and the Eagles are that's based off of last year. And I try to tell everybody coming into this year, Laquan, I'm sure you remember this.
Yeah.
Saquon is going to regress. He's going to regress big. And he has regressed big. And even in the games where the Eagles offense has popped off, like last week, it hasn't involved Saquon Barkley hitting 100 rushing yards. It hasn't involved Saquon Barkley scoring multiple touchdowns. His explosive run rate is dismal compared to where he was last year. I just don't think he has it this year. And it's not surprising, because of what the year he's coming off of. This is just what happens in the NFL and in fantasy. So This is not the move to make, I don't think. If you can trade Bill Kroski Merritt before this week, if you can find someone who likes the hype on JCM, that's the kind of thing I would do to try to bolster your roster a little bit.
Absolutely. And look, man, I appreciate the fantasy folks out there that play the game a little dirty and twist a knife on, you know, your league mates, you know, getting the egg on the face. I did it this morning to Kyle Brandt, our colleague over at the NFL. I'm like, hey, man, remember you were texting me about the fantasy stuff? I hope you didn't take Saquon with your number two pick in the draft. And he's like, I did. And I sent back a GIF like shaking my head. But listen, Kenny Dowers from TikTok, man, I appreciate you listening to the show if you're listening to the show. But, man, we are not making this trade, man. Just move on. Just send back a silly counter. Send back a dollar and fab. Like, I do that when I get silly, you know, trade offers. Okada, I don't know about you. But the next one, pick two. They're looking to start for week eight. Definitely not Zenny on TikTok, man. Pick two. Derrick Henry, Devon, Achan, Josh Jacobs. Week eight. We'll be doing.
Okay, we're never, ever, ever benching Josh Jacobs.
Correct.
In fairness, I don't know how you've ended up with this trio. Good for you. Make a trade. Make a trade is what I'll say. But you are never, ever benching Josh Jacobs. In my opinion, Laquan, outside of the elite three, CMC, Bijan, and Jonathan Taylor, who are like in a league of their own right now, I think Josh Jacobs is the next best running back in fantasy. And I believe he almost belongs in his own tier. The receiving work he started picking up in Green Bay, along with obviously an incredible run game, makes him mega elite. So you're always starting him. And then between the other two, I'm going to go Achan, especially if this is PPR. He doesn't say.
No.
But most leagues are half or full PPR.
Yeah, like we're at the time now. It's 2025, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you invite me to a standard league, I'm probably going to block you. Like, I'm not doing it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are we still pencil the pad of collecting the scores? Like, what are we doing, caveman?
It's Achan for me over Henry by a little bit. I will say this, though. One of the most reliable bits of data in all of fantasy, Laquan, along with Jared Goff sucking on the road and rocking at home, is that Derrick Henry gets better as the year goes on. This always happens. Defenses get colder, tired, outside. Weather gets cold. Yeah, buddy. And Derrick Henry starts
trying to tackle that, man.
Over. Yeah. So Derrick Henry would be the one I would not trade away if you do try to make a move. I would probably try to trade Achan given the disaster that is the Dolphins offense. We don't know what's going to happen with this team moving forward. Their coach might get fired. Their quarterback might get benched. Achan might get traded. There are some teams who are trying to pick up Achan, I've heard.
Yeah.
So if you can, you're not trading him for nothing, but if you have to bench one of these guys week to week, you should be trading one of them, picking up a good running back in return and another really good piece that you can start somewhere else in your plus lineup one. Every week.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think all three of these guys are great trade pieces because I think Josh Jacobs could probably have you flirt with the idea of getting a JSN. Like, if I honestly need another elite wide receiver and the team just needs a workhorse, like, Josh Jacobs is going to get handed the ball 7 times on the goal line if that was even possible to do. They will seriously just feed that man to scoring opportunities because I think at the end of the day, there's not much threat behind him. So I think Josh Jacobs coming into the seasons, his ADP was kind of like low-key disrespectful. I'm like, you know this man catches passes as well, and you know that the Packers are kind of good. They're going to be in a lot of scoring opportunities. So, yeah, that one didn't make sense. But, yeah, definitely not Zenny on TikTok. I hope you were listening. I hope that you go ahead and start Josh Jacobs and Achan, right? We're benching Derrick Henry.
We are, but that just sounds so yucky. I'd rather try to make a move if you can.
Yeah, make a move, man. I mean, don't be scared. Scare money don't make money. But now we got another trade question. This one was interesting because I like to take my Rams hat off from time to time. But when I see trades of Puka Nacua, I instantly get triggered. I'm like, why? Like, what are you doing? But in this situation, it's like, do I trade Puka Nacua for Devontae Smith, Jaylen Warren, and Garrett Wilson? My wide receivers are Terry McLaurin, Matthew Golden, Jacoby Myers, and picked up Tez Johnson at Luke Steely 72 on TikTok. What are we doing?
Oh boy, this is a tough one, Laquan. Okay. Mm-hmm. This one is going to depend very heavily on the context, I think. If you are 1-6 or 2-5 and you need to roll some guys out this week and the rest of your roster is disastrous and you would be starting Smith, Warren, and Garrett Wilson, assuming he's healthy, which I don't think he's going to play this week.
No.
Do we know if that's confirmed yet, Laquan?
No, not yet.
All right. I don't think it's unlikely he will, but let's assume that he is even. If you are playing all three of these guys in your starting lineup because the other options you have are just terrible, which looking at your wide receiver core, you very well might be, then this becomes a consideration. There is a non-zero chance that Garrett Wilson gets traded from the Jets before the deadline. That could be interesting for his value. And these guys are all startable. You're going to lose. This is how I would think about it. Okay. I'll summarize it this way to help you decide. You're trading 1 for 3.
Yeah.
You're giving up Puka Nacua and you're putting one of these guys into his slot. Let's assume it's Garrett Wilson. And let's assume Garrett Wilson plays. How many fantasy points are you losing there on a weekly basis?
Like a gajillion. Like the ceiling is gone.
Garrett Wilson has been pretty decent for fantasy, but you're still probably losing like 8 fantasy points a week, maybe something like that, legitimately. So now look at the other two spots, at Devontae Smith and Jaylen Warren. If you're getting them into your lineup every single week, who are you getting them in over, and are they going to combine for 8 or more fantasy points for your lineup than the other guys that you would have started? If you're starting, you know, Jacoby Myers and Tez Johnson, and you think these guys are going to score 4 points more each, then it's maybe doable, but that's a rare situation and it makes this really hard to pull off. So if that's your context, I might be okay with it, but it's rare that it would be the context, and I'd rather hold on to Puka and hope that he can save your season down the stretch.
I ain't doing it. I mean, Garrett Wilson's floor is hell, where Puka's ceiling is heaven. Like, I mean, Puka's floor is earth. That's how I just picture it in my head right there. So X him out. I don't want him on my roster. I mean, if he does get traded, where is he going to go? Like, I can't really, like, put a pin of, like, where he would exactly fit. I like him in Buffalo, but you think division rivals are going to sit there and trade guy like that? No, but, like, I honestly think the only moving piece that's going to be out of New York is going to be Breece Hall. I think that's kind of, like, more higher on the totem pole of likely to happen. But this trade, to me, just annoys me because when I see Jaylen Warren, I know he's the add-in. I know he's the, well, I'll throw in Jaylen Warren. Like, he's, like, the guy is probably RB4 on his roster, and he's just like, I'll throw in Jaylen Warren. And with Devontae Smith, he's been amazing these last couple games. Like, I mean, averaging over 100 yards per game. I mean, amazing stuff. But is that going to be the theme for the rest of the season on the road to the playoffs? I don't know. But all I know is that Puka Nacua makes up for 2 wide receivers on a good week. And this guy is not even scoring a bunch of touchdowns. So I'd rather have that on my roster than sitting here trying to get 3 guys that I'm probably going to shuffle in and out of my starting lineup on a week-to-week basis. So, yeah, Luca, not going for it. Not going for it, man. Akato, any final thoughts? Any final thoughts on the Fantasy Streets? Like, I like this, man. I want to do a mailbag each and every week and trying to talk and kind of help guys, you know, and gals out there for their fantasy rosters.
Good luck in the bipocalypse. It's going to be rough. You're going to score fewer points. You're going to have some weird names in your lineup. But like I said at the top of the show, just look at the team across the way. They probably have some real good guys on their bench. And let that give you some hope and pray you make it through the week.
Misery loves company is the theme this week to make it through the bipocalypse, man. Listen, I am totally ecstatic of starting Kyle Manungai this week because I have so many guys on the bye. Yes, we are at that point, ladies and gentlemen. But Okada, this has been a great show, man. FTN Fantasy Show. Make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel. And please make sure you guys check out our website. I promise you, there's no other website out there that looks as good as ours. I love the sleek look. Honestly, you need to tap into FTNFantasy.com. Make sure you guys sign up, become a subscriber, get a subscription, man. Use the promo code FIRE or FTN Fantasy Show to get 10% off. And Okada, we are out of here, man. See you guys next week for another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show.